Welcome to Poetry Basket, KIDE's monthly reading of poems from near and far. Our poets today come from ancient China, Cuba, Germany, Native America, and various regions of the United States. And we have a guest poet, Santa Teresa, who is California-born and raised. Santa is also a visual artist. Her studio is in Sonoma County.
All the poems we're reading today explore dreams, both literally and metaphorically. Dreams as hope, as memory, as vision. We offer today's reading as a short journey into what the Australian Aboriginals call the dream time. But we're going to open with Native American dreaming. Gerald Weisner is an old member of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. Here is his poem, Anishinaabe Grandmothers.
Anishinaabe grandmothers swelling like sweet clover on the dancing fields, stomach swaying, print dresses smiling on the wind, tribal dream songs coming from the past without teeth, more beautiful than flowers, dream children touching the earth again with gnarled fingers, the scars of a reservation life turning under with age. The sacred earth remembers every flower, grandchildren following clumsy and clover-stained, tasting the rain, singing, the world would change.
Gayuwani gayuwe, gayuwani gayuwe, wehiyo ho, hawi hawi ne gai na weahea.
In the anthology Poet's Choice, edited by Edward Hirsch, he writes the following. Every night, we enter another world, the kingdom of sleep, which no one entirely understands. We lie down and penetrate this startling realm as if it's a completely ordinary experience. Yet it turns out to be one of the strangest things most of us ever do. Where do we go when we sleep? Where are we rushing with such urgency? Dreaming is a kind of obscure underground thing, which has its own inexorable laws, its own governance. And sleep is a mysterious shadow country, awful, sweet, and holy, that each of us enters alone.
Next, A View of Dreaming by our guest poet, Santa Teresa. Here is Santa, reading Dream.
Dream is a kind of memory tugging at your daylight, reminding you of where you'll sleep again. Dream is a rowboat full of ghosts drifting toward the lake's center in the fog you wake into. Dream is the spun rope of your hair, the infinite scroll of texts, the colorful fabrics your body covers itself with. Dream provides the touch you never received from a grandmother you never knew. It is the muse coming to you, bringing your one operational wing, your sudden mechanical genius, the authority you tend to misplace over your own heroine's journey. And had you not dreamed, there would have been left a fallow place in the neighborhood of the stars. And had you not pressed your feet into the earth, not pressed on, you would not have felt the significance of your life in this form, the way it shapes all moments before and after the dream.
And now a poem from another Sonoma County poet, John Miatek, by a stroke of good luck. He's here to read it in person.
Dreams to Remember. Some dreams teach you things. Maybe that beauty is in the way someone touches you. Maybe that some things can only be learned from children. A dream may say that sometimes you need to ask, what are the customs here, so that everyone feels comfortable being in the same place together. Sometimes a dream will come with a gift, giving you a part of yourself that fits just right, a part that got misplaced a long time ago. Even in your sleep, you will know the truth of these things.
Dreams can present very graphic memories. Gary Young has a poem, My Brothers in Wyoming, that opens with a recurrent dream. Gary Young was born in 1951 and lives in Santa Cruz.
My brother's in Wyoming, and I've had that dream again. We're fishing, the trout rise, take our bait, and keep rising. In love once with a woman, and with my own capacity for pain, I fell in with some cowboys and broke my neck riding bulls in a little rodeo. That night, drunk in the bunkhouse, not knowing how badly I'd been hurt, I thought, it can't get worse than this, but I was wrong. That was 20 years ago. Thunder rolls down South Fork Canyon. The Milky Way is a great river overhead. My brother is in Wyoming. I miss him more than ever when he's there.
Science is next, by Robinson Jeffers, an American poet born in 1887, who is known for his writings about the Central California coast. Jeffers is considered an icon of the environmental movement. This poem explores science as a dangerous dream of introverted man.
Science. Man, introverted man, having crossed in passage and but a little with the nature of things this latter century, has begot giants. But being taken up like a maniac with self-love and inward conflicts, cannot manage his hybrids. Being used to deal with edgeless dreams, now he's bred knives on nature. Turns them also inward. They have thirsty points, though. His mind forebodes his own destruction. Actaeon, who saw the goddess naked among the leaves, and his hounds tore him. A little knowledge, a pebble from the shingle, a drop from the oceans. Who would have dreamed this infinitely little too much?
Anita Andreze uses imagery similar to Jeffers in her poem The Dream Feast, a poem of three verses. Anita Andreze is of Yaqui heritage.
The Dream Feast. 1. The Sleeper's Song. The thrust of the dragon's tight bone deepens the wound. His tongue switchblades the moon-drugged sleeper. I am eating my stomach. The woman who screams without voice picks the teeth of my dream. I am wiping my lips. At certain times of the year, the sea vomits blood. 2. The Dragon's Dream. The Dragon's Dream fires tongues of coiling snakes. Scale, burning scale, smoke rising like an oracle in silence. The Sphinx asks. The question has never been needed. The screaming woman gave birth to daggers too beautiful to resist blood. My spiked tail whips her stern lips. The Sphinx has eyes of crystal. When I look into them, I see myself within a halo of dreams. 3. The Feast. The Sphinx, denied a voice, turns to stone. The teeth of her vagina knife through my riddled dreams, too swollen with blood to rise. Inside her, I am clenching the dragon. He is a sleeping worm, curled in a congealing sea. The moon is mired in my flesh. The crouching Sphinx swallows my name.
We close this sequence on dreams about sharp points, knives and teeth, with Differences, a poem about an actual dream. It was written by Ray Youngbear, a member of the Meskwaki tribe. Ray Youngbear was born in Iowa in 1950.
Differences. Coughing up blood before the sun rose, I spit out the wind, and all turns into what might be expected on a rainy day, sleep. I dreamt of an animal with its teeth shining so greatly, and we have heard from each other. Once or twice, we seek to see who is God.
We have another poem about an actual dream, called My Dream. It was written by Lou Blakolsky of Cherokee, Choctaw, and Polish heritage.
My Dream. I had this dream. I was on the old town square, holding a white man down. My brother was nearby shouting. I don't know what he was shouting. Anyway, I was going to scalp this man. Then I remembered I didn't know how to scalp. I asked my brother. He didn't know either. Then the man started to laugh and laugh and laugh. I woke up. We turn now to Before Bed, an inventive poem by Mary Ruffel, an American poet born in 1952. You might call what she's describing a dream preparation routine, but we'll leave that up to the listener.
Before bed. I bathe at night. I dress in white. The sheets are clean, for sleep is an important occasion. And since I cannot bear a tick, the small clock is placed under the bed like a carefully lost invitation. I am going to a coronation, and I'm not just one of the crowd. I am walking down the aisle of a great church, and somebody carries my head on a pillow. When we reach the end, I pick it up, hold it high, say a few words of farewell. Then I put it on somebody else's head, and though you could say I've never worn it myself, I play an important role. I plan the details that allow the rest of the country to sleep, to dream of the day they'll be the one. But I keep the secrets of how it is done.
A Dream at Night. Our next poem is about a mother, or possibly a nurturing wife. It's a dream that took place in China centuries ago. It is by Mai Yao Qian, who lived during the Song Dynasty. It was translated by Kenneth Rexroth.
In broad daylight, I dream I am with her. At night, I dream she is still at my side. She carries her kit of colored threads. I see her image bent over her bag of silks. She mends and alters my clothes and worries for fear I might look worn and ragged. Dead, she watches over my life. Her constant memory draws me toward death.
Moving back to dreams metaphor, we have Santa Teresa reading her poem, Borderland.
Borderland. The room fills with light, a convergence of silence with shades of somersaulting cloud. A wide window opens onto resonant blues, seven white sails below the horizon, the singing sky. With one foot in dream, what storms once raged are now past. I lie down on the heartwood floor, in that thrum of brightness, gaze skyward through angled glass, the eye stripped bare, so spare, the mind falls headlong into the open-throated sky, tethered in flight to a red-tailed hawk whose banner of wings soars avenues of softly arced wind.
Sundown at Darlington, 1878 is next. The Darlington of this poem is in Oklahoma, where the poet Lance Henson was raised. Lance Henson is of Cheyenne Oglala Sioux and French heritage.
Sundown at Darlington, 1878. The children enter to sit near the fire. We have come a long way to this place, where the sun through gray winter skies whispers our names. Dreams fill the sleep of the old. Their voices touch the darkness, making it holy. We have come a long way. The colors of winter weigh heavy on this worn country. There is no sound from the trees, yet at night the ghost still dances among the horses. The dogs still wander the river land, barking on and on into the damp fall wind.
I'd like to read another Lance Henson poem, Wood Floor Dreams. Wood Floor Dreams. I have come upon the visage again of crows at four, flying across the winter moon, of wolves watching shadows on the flowing dark, of faces brushing the older trees. I sit near the vacuum of sleep. I run with my kin to the snow forest where words rest as from a long journey. Somewhere, turning in the river of winter, these few, with their lives, sing in the rush of water over smooth stones, leaving their names on our mantles at waking.
Now, Santa Teresa, reading Wingless.
Wingless. Anything can harm you. A sliver from a telephone pole, a slat in the fence, the wind if it pierces your face, the sun if you look at it straight, or a door that snips through your bone, the tip of your finger gone flying. It could be water that does it, the lessons of buoyancy forgotten, a rock or stick in the eye, even the color blue from a cornflower could make you rub your eyes blind if you let it. Things outside your skin can be used against you, a word, a look, a gesture. I lie under the sheets like the dead in their coffin beds, so the spiders will be fooled and won't climb up my cold legs. I still my breathing until it forgets what it is, and a wave hardens to stone in my chest. I silence my desire before it knows its name, give it another face as if it were a face, as something wingless only knows by dream what it is to fly.
We have three poems about dream houses, written by elementary school poets, published in the 40th anniversary edition of the California Poets in the Schools anthology.
Dream House by Melissa Denny, grade 5. If I had $1 million, I would have a dream house. I would have a crocodile, and he would have his own pool. Next, I would have an indoor pool. Then I would have a room split in half, half for dogs and half for cats.
My Dream House by Jeff Foster in grade 4. I want my dream house to look like a forest. I want my shower to look like a forest in rain falling from a hose with holes in it. I want my room to look like a treetop, so I'll have a bunk bed with and leaves on it. I want my kitchen to look like the forest floor.
Dream House by Austin Meisner, grade 3. What I would want as my dream house is the home I have. A place where I have someone to care for me. A place where people love me. And that is all I will need. They are brown and blue, and I love them. There is nothing I will ever need, and I love everyone in my life.
Our next poem is The Saying by Ernest Stadler, a German expressionist poet born in 1883.
The Saying. In an old book, I stumbled across a saying. It was like a stranger punching me in the face. It won't stop gnawing at me. When I walk around at night looking for a beautiful girl, when a lie or a description of life or somebody's fake way of being with people occurs instead of reality, when I betray myself with an easy explanation, as if what's dark is clear, as if life doesn't have thousands of locked, burning gates, when I use words without really having known their strict openness and put my hands around things that don't excite me, when a dream hides my face with soft hands and the day avoids me, cut off from the world, cut off from who I am deeply, I freeze where I am and see hanging in the air in front of me, stop being a ghost.
We turn now to Old Man, Old Man by David Wagoner, a prize-winning American poet and novelist. Born in the Midwest in 1926, he moved to the Pacific Northwest in his 20s and is considered a leading poet of this region. We're reading his poem in two voices.
Young men, not knowing what to remember, come to this hiding place of the moons and years, to this old man.
Old man, they say, where should we go? Where did you find what you remember? Was it perched in a tree? Did it hover deep in the white water? Was it covered over with dead stalks in the grass? Will we taste it if our mouths have long lain empty? Will we feel it between our eyes if we face the wind all night and turn the color of earth? If we lie down in the rain, can we remember sunlight?
He answers, I have become the best and worst I dreamed. When I move my feet, the ground moves under them. When I lie down, I fit the earth too well. Stones long under water will burst in the fire, but stones long in the sun and under the dry night will ring when you strike them, or break in two. There were always many places to beg for answers. Now the places themselves have come in close to be told. I have called even my voice in close to whisper with it. Every secret is as near as your fingers. If your heart stutters with pain and hope, bend forward over it like a man at a small campfire.
Our last poem from Santa Teresa today is Borderland.
Borderland. The room fills with light, a convergence of silence with shades of somersaulting cloud. A wide window opens onto resonant blues, seven white sails below the horizon, the singing sky. With one foot in dream, what storms once raged are now past. I lie down on the heartwood floor, in that thrum of brightness, gaze skyward through angled glass, the eye stripped bare, so spare, the mind falls headlong into the open-throated sky, tethered in flight to a red-tailed hawk whose banner of wings soars avenues of softly arced wind.
We're going to close with a poem that poses a question. It's an untitled piece by Dulce Maria Loynas. She was born in Havana in 1902, the daughter of a famous general. Our selection is from her book, Poems Without Names, and we're reading it in two voices.
Each nightfall, she goes out with her lantern to light a road in the middle of nowhere.
It is a road nobody ever crosses, lost in the darkness of night, and lost, too, in the light of day. It is a road that comes from nowhere and goes nowhere.
The neighboring forest gnaws at the margins of the road. The trees grip it with their roots, weeds grown in between the cracks in the rock. But every night she comes out with the first star and hangs a lantern above the solitary road.
Nobody will ever come this way. It is a difficult journey, and there is no reason to come. Some roads have shade, and other roads cover longer distances in half the time. And there are still other roads that make a straight line through an endless maze of streets.
There are other roads in this world, and people will travel them all, but nobody will set foot on hers.
Why, then, does she light the road for a wayfarer who doesn't exist? And why this constant show of obstinacy every night?
And why on earth does she smile when she lights the lantern?
I like to think the woman in that poem by Dulce Maria Loynas was lighting her lantern for the keeper of the dreamtime.
And that's it for Poetry Basket. Our readers were Sharon Bauer, Carol Goodale, Matthew Matskar, Florian McCovey, Joseph Orozco, Cynthia Potten, and Jay Renzulli. Many thanks to our guest poets, Santa Teresa and John Miatek. Poetry Basket was produced by Cynthia Potten and engineered by Joseph Orozco.